if you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you must build your life on three things that are the blessing of God: integrity, humility, and generosity. Integrity, humility, and generosity. These are the three great antidotes to the three great temptations in life. If you build your life on integrity, humility, and generosity, you'll set up for yourself a barrier to the three greatest traps in life that cause people to fail in life. Today we'll look at just one of those, generosity. In the Bible, there are about how many promises of God?
7,000.
7,000. These are blank checks for you, so to speak. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. He promises. With every promise, there is a premise. God says there's a condition for every one of the promises of God in your life. Promises for success, satisfaction, fulfillment, and blessing. In the Bible, the number one thing that God has promises about is connected to generosity. There are more promises related to generosity in the Bible than any other subject. Generosity applies to more things than just money. You can be generous with your time, energy, your praise, talent, with every area of your life. It's about becoming an unselfish person. There are more promises about that than anything else. So, what is generosity? Why is God so interested in generosity? Because generosity is love in action. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot be loving without being generous. If I tell my wife that I love her, but I'm not generous with my wife, I don't really love her. Because love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16. Generosity is simply love in action. And if I'm not a generous person, I'm not a loving person. I may think I am, but I'm not. Because love is all about giving, not about getting. A lot of songs on the radio are not love songs, though they're kind of billed as such. They're actually lust songs. Lust is about getting. You make me feel good. That's lust, not love. Love is giving. Lust is about getting. In the Bible, the word believe is used 270 times. Pray is used 371 times. Love is used 714 times. But the word give is used 2,162 times. Why? Because God is a giver. Everything you have in your life is a gift from God. God was not generous, you would have nothing. Your heart would stop beating right now. Oh, that was it. God is a generous God. He gives you air, sunshine, a mind to think. Everything else in your life is a sheer gift from God. And God wants us to learn to be like him. So here are a dozen major promises about generosity in Scripture. This is what happens in you every time you're generous. And if you need a pen to fill in the blanks, there's pens out in just a little can just outside the entryway. I don't see them in here, but to help yourself if you need to go get a pen. First, generosity honors God. Giving is an act of worship, and it's a recognition that everything you have is a gift from God. 2 Corinthians 9:13. You'll be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you're obedient to the good news of Christ. Proverbs 12:31. Whoever is generous to the needy honors God. Think of that next time you maybe bump into a panhandler or your neighbor needs to come and borrow some money. Whoever is generous to the needy honors God. There's a connection there. Second, generosity draws me closer to God. Why? Because whatever I invest in is what I'm interested in. If I invest my time or money or energy in something, whether it's golf or a new business plan, whatever I invest my time and money in shows what's important to me. When I invest in God and His work, it not only honors God, it draws me closer to Him, because wherever my money and time go is what attracts me. Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to what? What's it say?
Always put God first in your lives.
To give the first part of your income, the first 10% on the first day of the week or monthly, if you're paid monthly like me, is saying, God, you're really number one. It all came from you. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Wherever you put your money, that's where your heart's going to be. That's what you're going to be interested in. If you want to be closer to God, put some money there. It'll draw you closer to God. Here, generosity makes me more like Jesus. Because the most generous person who ever lived, of course, was Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his own life. The Bible says we've been saved because of the generosity of Jesus. Every time you give time, money, energy, anything, you become more like Jesus. Every time you give, your heart grows bigger. Every time you give, you become more like Christ. Proverbs 21:26, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. And the more godly you become, the more generous you are. It also works in reverse. The more generous you are, the more godly you're going to become. Luke 11:41, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. In other words, to live a holy life is to be a giver. It makes me like Christ. A man named Bob McEwen one day bought his young son sitting in his car seat some French fries at a drive-thru. Bob recalls as he is driving back home, it smelled so good, I just reached over and took one of my son's French fries. My little son said, Dad, you can't have any. These are my fries. McEwen immediately had three thoughts. Number one, I realized that my child had forgotten that I am the source of all fries. He would have no French fries if it weren't for me. I brought him there. I drove him here. I bought the fries. I paid for the fries. I handed him the fries. He would have no fries in life if it weren't for his father. And the only reason he got any was because of me. Second thing I realized is my child doesn't realize that I could take them all away if I wanted to. I could take them away and say, no more until after supper, or no more right now, that's all you can eat. I can take them away instantly. Or on the other hand, I could go back and buy them a truckload of fries if I want to. I was totally in charge. He was not. Third, I realized that I really didn't need his fries. But if I had wanted fries, I could have bought them for myself. I had plenty of money. I could have bought them for myself. I could easily get my own. I just wanted my young son to learn unselfishness. I wanted him to learn how to share. Unquote. Now, let's apply that analogy from Bob McEwen and his young son. Those are the same three reasons God wants you to learn generosity. God does not need your money. It all belongs to Him anyway. It wasn't yours before you were born. It's not going to be yours after you die. He just loaned it to you while you're alive. It's all His. He is the source of all fries. Everything you have in your life. If God didn't love you and be generous with you, you would have zip, nada, nothing. He could take it away from you instantly. And He could give you 10 times that amount instantly. He just wants you to learn how to be unselfish. Why? Because God is a fry giver. God is generous. And so generosity makes me like Christ. Four, generosity is the cure for materialism. Materialism is all about getting. Get all you can. And materialism is about taking in and acquiring and hoarding, and I've got to get more and more and more. The only antidote to materialism is giving. You may say, I'm not materialistic. But if you're not generous, you are. Every time you give, you break the grip of materialism in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. Say that with me.
You cannot serve both God and money.
going to be one or the other. Which is it going to be? Circle the word cannot. Notice he didn't say you should not serve both God and money. He said you can't. It's impossible. You can't have two gods in your life. You got to decide what's more important to you, being rich or serving God. What's more important to me? Is God number one in my life? Or is money number one in my life? He says you can't have two gods. They're mutually exclusive, incompatible. Which will it be? In a consumer-driven culture, and especially in the good life of North America, it's pretty hard to fight materialism. It's very easy to get caught up in a consumer thinking that my net worth determines my self-worth. It doesn't. Your value is not the sum total of your valuables. Your net worth and your self-worth are not connected. If daily you're bombarded by advertising, which constantly subliminally suggests, get this and you'll be happy. You'll have it made. And Satan has other little tools that he likes to use to make you materialistic. Flyers. Catalogs. I'm so glad we don't get flyers anymore on our street for some reason. I didn't even know that they made that, but oh, I've got to have it now. Where was I without that? 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19. Command those who are rich. Oh, a little insertion here. You are rich. The poorest of the poor in North America are richer than most of the rest of the world. Most of the world would love to have the problems of the people who are poor in Canada. Command those who are rich, that's all of us, in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Key phrase, is your hope in God or is your hope in wealth? Which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them, that's us, to be generous, willing to share. In this way, they will take hold of the life that is true life. You don't know what you're really living for until you break the grip of materialism in your life. 5. Generosity demonstrates my faith, because it shows that you're trusting in the promises of God. It shows what you believe, namely, you believe that God will take care of you if you obey Him. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. Philemon 1:6 says, you are generous because of your faith. Stinginess is caused by unbelief. One frets to oneself, I don't really believe that God can take care of me. I don't believe that if I give this away, I'll have enough for myself. It's a worry, an anxiety, a fear, an unbelief. Stinginess is caused by unbelief. You're generous because of your faith. Malachi 3:10, God dares you to trust His promises. It says, bring your whole tithe, that's 10%, the Old Testament standard, to my storehouse, that is the temple, which at this time lay in disrepair when Malachi was prophesying. Everybody was building their own nice homes with cedar panels and all, and the temple was over here in disrepair. God says, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. Boy, wasn't that something. God says, I dare you. Test me. Prove me. The way you prove that God exists is by tithing and see if He doesn't bless you more. So, generosity demonstrates my faith. 6. Generosity reveals my character. In other words, it shows what kind of heart you really have. It shows, do I have a selfish heart or do I have an unselfish heart? Do I have a generous heart or a stingy heart? Giving, generosity, shows what my heart is really like. God uses money to test what's really inside of you, to see if He can trust you with more. God says, if you're faithful with little things, a few things, I'll give you more things. In the Bible, God promises, if you're faithful with that which is not your own, what God says, I loan you while you're on earth, God says, I will give you greater blessing in eternity. You may not realize this, but the rewards and responsibilities that you have in heaven are going to be based on how you manage your money here on earth. Jesus said in Luke 16:11, If you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, you don't manage your money well, you're not generous with it. If you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And the answer is nobody. God will. Your responsibility and rewards in heaven are going to be built on how you handle what God gave you right now. What did you do with what you were given? Generosity brings God's blessing. If you want God's blessing on your life, you must learn to not be a miser, to not be stingy. You must learn to be open-handed with what God has given you, helping other people with everything you've got. The more you give away your time, your talent, your treasure, the more God will give you. Giving brings God's blessing. Proverbs 22:9. Generous people will be what?
Blessed.
Blessed. You either believe that or you don't. God said it, and it's true. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously. Then because of this, God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. You want God to bless you in your work and in everything you put your hand to? There's the answer right there. There's the promise. Give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7 and 8. In the New Testament. God loves the one who gives gladly. Gives hilariously. Literally in Greek. And God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more. So there will be not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Generosity brings God's blessing. 8. Generosity increases my happiness. The Apostle Paul recalls Jesus' own words in Acts 20:35. Let's say this one together. Jesus said,
there is more happiness in giving than in receiving.
Giving or getting? More happiness in giving, Jesus says. Okay. Admit it, when you were a child, your joy likely came from the presents you got Christmas, not from the presents you gave to other people. As children, we're immature and we tend to be self-centered. Me, me, me. When you become a grandparent, it is not so much about the presents you get. Instead, your joy comes from watching other people unwrap the gifts you've given to them. Why? Because you grew up. You stopped being self-centered. It stopped being all about me. You're getting joy from the joy of the other person. That's called maturity. Unfortunately, some people never grow up. And at 80 years old, it's still all about them. What am I getting out of this? And they've never learned the joy of generosity. Generosity increases my happiness. 9. Generosity expands my influence. The more generous you become, the more influential you will become. Influence comes not from what you get in life. Influence comes from what you give away in life. And the more you give away, the more influential you'll be. There's a difference between being famous and being influential. A lot of famous people lack influence. Many selfish people who are famous don't have real influence. When you want to help other people, influence comes from generosity. Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy will get smaller and smaller. Also Psalm 112:9, those who give generously to those in need will never be forgotten. One legacy? Help the poor. You'll never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. When Kay and Rick Warren got married, they started tithing their income, 10%. At the end of their first year of marriage, they raised their giving to the Lord and to charity to 11%. Second year, 12%. Third year, raised to 3%. Fourth year, they kept adding. Even in tough times, they'd always raise their giving a little bit. Why? Rick Warren explains, because I wanted my heart to grow bigger every year. I wanted to be more like Jesus. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to be like God. I wanted to be holy. They kept raising their giving from 20% to 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%. The last 10 years or so, they've given away 91% of their income and live on 9%. Rick says, we do that because you cannot outgive God. And God says, you give to me and I'll give to you. And you know what I've learned? It's that while my giving went up, so did my influence. The senator once asked Rick Warren when he was testifying in Washington, D.C., Why do you think God chose you to write the best-selling nonfiction hardback of all time? Rick replied, because God knew he could trust me with the money. God knew that I would not spend it on myself. I wouldn't go buy a bigger house. I wouldn't go buy a bigger car. I wear a watch from Walmart. I drive a 15-year-old Ford truck. God knew I wouldn't spend the money on myself. I would use it to help other people. You might say to yourself, if I wrote a gazillion seller, I'd give away millions too. No, you wouldn't. Because you're not being generous right now. Rick recalls, I was generous when we were out of work. And I was generous when we had no money. And I was generous when the cupboard was bare. I had a 40-year track record of being generous. And God knew that he could trust me. And with that generosity came additional influence. 10. Generosity multiplies my money. Now, I want to add on to the prepared slides here. God multiplies my money for magnanimity. And most of you probably can't spell magnanimity very easily. M-A-G-N-A-N-I-M-I-T-Y. Magnanimity. I just get a little uncomfortable with the direction towards the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. That says right there. So, God has worked out the universe in such a way that when I give God 10% of my income, that's called tithing, that he makes the 90% go farther than if I had 100% on my own. Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched. Don't we want to circle that word? Go ahead and circle it. That means you're going to have more than you have right now. You will be enriched so that... Don't stop the verse right there. There's a so that. There's a purpose statement here, folks. Pay attention. This is how you get avoiding the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel trap. You'll be enriched so that, what, you can be a fat cat and spend it all on yourself? No, that's not what it says. You'll be enriched so that, what, you can read it with me? You can give even more generously. See what God's doing here? He's wanting you to be not self-focused, not all funneling into me, 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 but he wants you to be a channel through which he can bless the world. It's as if you're playing a little game where God says, you give to me and I'll give to you, and you give to others and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins. You're never going to win the generosity game. You can't outgive God. Generosity multiplies my money for magnanimity. 11. Generosity brings God's protection on your family, on your business, on your own life. Psalm 112, 5 and 6. All goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. Two of those factors we mentioned at the start, integrity and generosity right there. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Notice, it doesn't say you're not going to have evil circumstances. It says you're not overthrown by them. Everybody has tough times. There's no guarantee of a problem-free life. You're going to have evil circumstances in your life. But when you're generous, God says, I'll make sure you're not blown away by them. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. They'll say, look at that guy. He's blessed even in tough times. God is blessing him even when things are going wrong in his life and all around him. Generosity brings God's protection. And last, number 12, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. Rewarded in heaven. Think about it. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Paul writes, use your money to do good. Circle the word use. Money is to be used. It's not to be loved. It's to be used. Say it. Use. Yeah, you got me. If you use money, you love people. But if you start loving money, what are you going to do to people?
Use them.
Yeah. Money is a tool. It's neither good nor bad in itself. Money's just neutral. Something that comes out of the middle. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. People might object. Doesn't the Bible say money is the root of all evil? No. Read your Bible. What it actually does say is what? Love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. You're to love people and use money, not the other way around. So he says, use your money to do good. And hear an amen from the back pew there. Amen. So he says, use your money to do good. Let's continue. Always being ready. Where are you there? Always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for yourself. Where? In heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. And they, or that's us, will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. You can't take it with you. Sorry to break it to you, folks. You die with the most toys wins, but you got to give up all the toys. Oh, don't believe that motto. You can't take it with you. Oh, and you never see a hearse pulling a what?
You will.
Exactly. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. How? Four times in Scripture, Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. How do you bank in heaven? Is there an ATM for that somewhere around? No. By investing in people who are going there. By investing in kingdom work. Getting on board with your church's outreach. Getting people into heaven. Strong. Growing. Jesus implies that's investing in heaven. One of the most important things that Jesus said is this next verse, Luke 16:9. I tell you, use your world resources, that's your money, to benefit others. Not yourself, who? Others. And make friends. What did you mean by that? Well, we'll explore that in a bit. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Who's saying this? Jesus. Better take it seriously, right? What does it mean to use my world resources to benefit others and make friends? It's not saying go out and buy a bunch of friends like the prodigal son's fair weather friends that's party hardy and all that. What he's saying is this. Take some of your money and use it to build bridges of friendship to bring people to Jesus Christ who are then going to be saved and they're going to go to heaven with you. And when you get to heaven, there will be people in heaven who greet you and say, you're here. Thank God for all you did. You gave some money that brought me to Jesus Christ. I'm in heaven because of you. I'm your friend forever. Those of us who are on the retreat, think of Jill Briscoe, and they're working with Trevor and his friends and just buying them coffee and developed the relationship. They came to Christ. Just what a wonderful... But it took a bit of money outlaid to buy them the coffee. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you use your money? Remember Rick and Kay investing constantly over the years. They're going to have tens of thousands of friends in heaven because of the way they use their money. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you used your money? Are you going to have any friends out there because people say, thank you, I'm here because of you. You bought a Bible. You gave towards VBS, or sent me to Christian summer camp, or sponsored that children's ministry. You supported a missionary. You sponsored a project. You built a church. You helped a program. You did other things. And through that, I came to know the Lord. I'm here because of you. I'm your friend forever. That's what it means to be rewarded in heaven. Those are rewards you're going to have forever. Everything I spend on myself on earth, I'm losing. But everything I invest in others and in God's work, I'm going to gain again in heaven. What's the better deal? Which investment is going to really last? Where do I want to keep my greatest wealth? Here, where I get to use it for 70, 80, 90 years, perhaps? Or in heaven, where I get to use it for trillions of years in eternity? That's a no-brainer. Generosity will be rewarded in heaven. That's right.